bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 204, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart. Though life seems vain, burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair, till in thy house of prayer all was made plain. 1 through 4 of Psalter 204. scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of Esther, the 6th chapter. Esther chapter 6. But first we'll make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Esther chapter 6. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done for him." And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king, to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servants said unto him, "Behold, Haman standeth in the court." The king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in. And the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself?" And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, "Let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor.'" Then the king said to Haman, "Make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken." Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, "Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor." Mordecai came again to the king's gate, But Haman hasted to his house mourning and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh, his wife, unto him, If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. While they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. So far the reading of God's holy word. Remember in prayer this afternoon, Mrs. Case Holloman, who needs to undergo... Mrs. Case Holloman, who needs to undergo tests in the coming week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we have read together of the fulfillment of the promise that thou hast given unto thy people, when thou didst bring them through the wilderness, then thou didst say that the dread of them shall be upon all the nations. And so we can hear also that fear that dwelt even in those over under whose captivity they were. Lord, thou who art the God of the heavens and of the earth, and thou who wilt come to the aid, and thou who wilt stand for thy people, even to the very end of the world, thou in thy just judgment, wilt also bring over them the rod and the chastisements of thy fatherly hand, but thou wilt never allow the enemy to have dominion over thy church. Oh, thou wilt keep them even unto the very end, and thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thou knowest also the affliction of thy people in the day in which we live. Then it is their fear so often that the enemy will one day have complete dominion, that they fear that they have fallen so into his hands that they must ask, where is the God of my youth? Lord, wilt thou remember them even in this day, that thou may uphold and strengthen thy own with a little token of thy nearness and of thy presence through all the strife of that warfare which is their lot here below. For it will be to the last breath that church will have to fight that triple-headed enemy. Lord, they have no strength. They have no answer so often to that enemy who does mock with them continually as an inner speaker. Where is now thy God? Oh, that thou would look on thy children who are often so destitute and who do not know how to go forward anymore. Lord, remember them even in this thy holy day. Oh, that thy word may be food and drink unto them, that it may be health and strength for their soul, that thou wouldst give the increase in the knowledge of self, but also the growing in grace, all that a growing in unworthiness, that they may be recipients of that grace of the Most High God. Oh, for that reason thou hast sent thy Son into this world, that is, that he may be anointed by thee to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted ones, to preach deliverance unto the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And thou knowest where all those bound ones are. Lord, that the word which thou may speak this day, oh, may it be through our mouth, may be so blessed and sanctified in the midst of thy people, that they may feel and that they may experience that thou art a God that is nearby. Wilt thou look on each and every one of us, oh, and we know nothing of that life of strife and of warfare, oh, and we are content to live in this world, to seek the things of the time, and to love the prince of the world. O Lord, may thou then give in this day that new life, that we may begin to hate sin as against a God who is so good unto us, that our hearts may be broken and that they may be made contrite for the first time in our life. Lord, wilt thou be with each and every one also in the things of this life, for which thou didst teach thy children also to pray and to lay all their needs before thee, that thou may remember her that is that must go into the hospital in the day of tomorrow. Thou knowest all the fears that lay in her heart. With her husband, wilt thou look on her in mercy, and wilt thou strengthen her according to the body, and give wisdom unto all the doctors and caregivers. Also for those who had the accident in the day of yesterday, that have been burned in their bodies, Lord, remember them in this day, in whatever places thou hast driven them, and may thou give them also yet a blessing when they cannot be amongst us. And all that may be afflicted and sick, our brother deacon also that must be at home, and there are also others. Lord, care for all the sick ones, and give us an impression of our frailty, the shortness of our life, and the reality and the awfulness of sin. And do remember our children, the youth of the congregation, and all those that do instruct them day by day in our own school. Bless the labors that may be performed there. Wilt thou give that more young people may receive in their heart a desire to do that work that is so noble, that is so worthy a work, to instruct our children, Lord, that thou would raise them up also from among us and give them a desire, that thou would work, that thou would instruct first in their own heart, and that they also may be used to instruct others. Be with our children in these days when they may be at home. Wilt thou keep from all accident and danger, keep from all evil and sin, and may it also in these days, in these weeks, be good that we may gather with loved ones and with friends from time to time in our own places. Oh, that our conversation may be upright before Thee, and oh, may it be some worthwhile conversation, Lord, that Thou may give, that there may be a concern in the hearts, and that it may yet be spoken also of Thy own work. Wilt Thou remember each and every one of those that are afflicted in this world, the blind, the deaf, and the dumb, and the handicapped, those that are afflicted also in the mind, wilt Thou strengthen and uphold them, and wilt Thou look on our governors and all those that rule and reign over us, wilt Thou draw to Thy footstool and give a realization, an impression in their hearts that they also have to give an account before Thee. Wilt Thou then cause them to judge and to rule us according to Thy holy laws. Look on all that are in the prisons. Give a true repentance. And wilt Thou cause to come to need not only the forgiveness of men, but the forgiveness of the all-knowing and the almighty, but also the righteous and just God. Be with all Thy servants over the length and the breadth of the whole world. Wilt Thou give that those whom Thou hast sent into this world may feel that Thy help is underneath, oh, that they may experience that they cannot do it of themselves, and that Thou dost stand on the right and on the left. Send forth more laborers into Thy vineyard. Oh, Lord, instruct in the ways and in the knowledge of self and of Thee. And oh, cause that burden to be laid upon the hearts of men, that they may be thrust forth into that work that for man is impossible and yet is so necessary for the bringing in of Thy church. Wilt Thou go before us also once again in this afternoon hour, Lord, when it would be all of men, then it shall all come to nothing. But oh, that Thou may be with us in Thy house of prayer to pour out Thy Holy Spirit, and that the instruction that we have received from our forefathers may be sanctified and may be blessed, and that we may receive the strength also in our own body, and the voice to be able to bring it forth, the clarity of our mind, but may it be love, and Thy Spirit in a rich measure in our heart, and that Thou may use and sanctify it for Thy glory and for our soul's salvation. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 345, stanzas 1 and 2. To the hills I lift my eyes. Whence shall help for me arise? From the Lord shall come my aid. Who the heaven and earth has made, He will guide through dangers all, will not suffer thee to fall. He who safe His people keeps, slumbers not and never sleeps. We announced that at our past members' meeting, Elder Martin Niels and Deacon Henry Van Sluis have been reelected to their offices. Anyone having a lawful objection to their reinstallation must bring their objections to the consistory by December 27. Psalter 345, all stanzas. Congregation, sometimes there are very remarkable things that happen in this world. We have read together of Ahasuerus that in that night could not the king sleep. And it is in his thought to call for the book of records. And there it is read to him of Bigthana, of Teresh, and of Mordecai. Just in those moments, we have read also about Haman. That in those moments, he is coming into that court of the king. So that in that very moment that he is brought to the king's disposal. And then we know the history, of course. Are all of these things happening by chance? By no means. But the Lord is in this, taking care and watching over his own church. It is possible that also many remarkable things have occurred in our lives also in the things of this world. And with these things, we need to be so very, very careful. And why? Because the providences of the Lord are not a means of grace. Not that the Lord is not able to use the outward things in order to stop a person and to bring him to a standstill in this life. But when the Lord is working in the life, in the heart of his children, then the Lord is working by his word and by his spirit. And there are many, we can read them in the word of God, who have received remarkable outward providences and deliverances of the Lord, which were not the children of God. If King Pharaoh had hoped upon the 9 deliverances of the Lord that he has experienced in his life, then that man would have been sadly mistaken. Thus we say we must be so very, very careful, because outward earthly deliverances are no sign of spiritual life. What is then the providence of the Lord? And what is the advantage, what is the profit of the providences of the Lord? That is the subject which our instructors, they have addressed in Lord's Day 10, which we wish to consider together in this afternoon in questions 27 and 28 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 10, questions 27 and 28. Question 27. What dost thou mean by the providence of God? Answer, the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. Question 28. What advantage is it to us to know that God has created and by his providence doth still uphold all things? Answer, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from His love, since all creatures are so in His hand that without His will they cannot so much as move. So far, our Lord's Day, which concerns God's providence, and we want to consider that in two thoughts. First, the wonder of God's providence, and second, the advantage derived from the knowledge of God's providence. God's providence, first, its wonder, and second, the advantage derived from the knowledge of this providence. What dost thou mean by the providence of God? Providence, that is a word that contains the word provide. Last time, then we have considered something of the creation of God. Now our instructors, they go further, that God has not only created all things, but that the Lord, He is also making provision, that the Lord is providing yet for all those things which He has created. Many do not believe this. The Stoics, for example, they substitute fate and destiny for the providence of God. Others say God observes and He sees everything that is happening in the world, but His hand is not in it. But the providence of God that is observed in so many different ways, which we also hope to see. But at the same time, congregation, the providence of God is also such a wonder. And why is that such a wonder? That God is upholding everything. It is not such a wonder that the Lord is upholding the universe. It is not such a wonder that the Lord is upholding all of the animals. But it is a wonder that the Lord is upholding you and me. It is a wonder that the Lord is still providing for man when he is walking in an open rebellion against God. Did that ever become a wonder to us? It is not a wonder to the world. No, the world is taking everything that they receive so for granted. It is not a wonder to the self-righteous, because then we deserve everything that we are receiving from that hand of God. But did it ever become a wonder to you? It was a wonder to the prodigal son. It was a wonder to a Mephibosheth. It becomes a wonder to publicans and to sinners. What dost thou mean by the providence of God, the almighty and everywhere present power of God? Congregation, have we ever felt this? Have we ever felt a little bit of the almighty and everywhere present power of God? May you ever feel, young people, that the Lord is alive, that He is not an idle God, as those gods who have eyes but cannot see, who have ears and cannot hear, and so forth, but that He is the living God. In a very general way, then the Lord is providing for all of this world. So in His providence, which we call the general providence of God, then the whole world is upheld and governed by the Lord. Our instructors, they are speaking about herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years. Thus, they are not only considering the provision that the Lord is giving, but also the withholding of provision from His creatures. So the providence of God that is extending not only over the blessings, but it is also extending over the judgments of the Lord. The Lord has preserved man and He has preserved the animals within the ark. But at the same time, He has also brought such a destruction upon the world. The Lord has spared the Israelites in the way of His providence. But at the same time, He has brought judgment unto the Egyptians. Thus, it is His own creation, a general providence. Then there is also a special providence of the Lord. And that special providence of the Lord goes about His rational creatures. That is, it goes about man. It goes about the crown of His creation that is above all that is irrational, all that is inanimate, that cannot move. Man, made in the image of God. God has a very special care for mankind. Meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty. Thus, the greatest wonder is that the Lord has not removed His provision for man after His fall, but that He still continues to provide for rebellious mankind. Why? That has to do with His church. That has to do with the bringing in of His people. That is the cork on which this whole world is floating. And thus there is a general providence of God over the whole world. There is a special providence of God over mankind. And there is, in the last place, a very special providence of the Lord. And over whom is this? That is, over the people of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord also commands us to remember especially, He says, the household of faith. Thus, that is His own church. That is the church that He has loved from before the foundation of the world. That is the church for whom the Lord has a very special care. The very ass of Balaam did speak on behalf of that church. The very bears of the wood, they are made to destroy the mockers of God's servants. The very rain and the hail from heaven, that is being brought down against the enemies of God's people. The sun and the moon, they are made to stand still on behalf of the people of the Lord. The earth itself is made to cleave asunder and to swallow up those who have come against the true servants of the Lord. Sodom cannot be destroyed, and that fire and the brimstone cannot rain from heaven until the child of the Lord is delivered out of that city. The very special care, the very special providence of the Lord concerning His own people. And then it goes about the very smallest details, the most minute details that are in this world. God, He is so high, and He is sitting upon His throne in His own place of glory. Then there are those, they say that the Lord, He cannot be bothered with those small things that are here in this world. That is not so. The Lord Jesus Himself, then He speaks about the care of the Lord even over the sparrows. And then that very special providence of the Lord, that each hair upon the head of His children is numbered, and that every tear of His children that is going into the bottle of the Lord. The providence of the Lord that can be seen in three different aspects. That is, in His preservation, in His concurrence, and in His government. So first, preservation, what is that? That is, that the Lord is upholding every being in this world in its very existence. The Pelagians also say that God preserves His creation, but they say that God only preserves His creation in the fact that He does not destroy it. Therefore, it is preserved. A congregation, the world and man continue to exist by the express and by the direct influence of the power of God. That He is exerting an active influence within this world to preserve man in his being, to uphold him in his existence. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. But again, for what purpose does the Lord preserve the whole world in its existence? That is only that He may gather in His church. It is only because the last one of the elect is not yet brought in unto that kingdom of the Lord. Thus the mercies that you and I receive day by day, the long-suffering of the Lord that is extended over us and our children moment by moment, that has but one purpose. That is, that the Lord may extend this world, and that He may yet bring into His kingdom those that are chosen, those that are elect of Him. Congregation, does the Lord preserve us in our existence, that He may bring us also into that kingdom of God? Or are we also concerned in that very special providence of the Lord, for which the preservation of the Lord is going over this whole world? Or are we only existing? Are we only being preserved so that one day we may be cast out of His sight, and that the righteousness of the Lord in the condemnation of the wicked may be glorified? Preservation of the world is done in two ways by the Lord. That may be either with means or by way of means, or it may be immediate or without the means. In the most common way, the Lord is providing for His creature by the use of the means. Then He is giving boys and girls rain and sunshine. Then He is giving warmth from the sun that the crops may grow. He is using us, He is using man as an instrument in His hand to bring about the preservation of mankind. Not that it cannot be in a supernatural way, because sometimes the Lord is using means, but the Lord is using means in a supernatural way. We read of a widow in the Bible who was given oil by the Lord in a very extraordinary way. Elijah also was fed. He was upheld by means that was food and drink, but it was by the very ravens of the air, which was a very unnatural, thus a supernatural way that the Lord has preserved His servant. So we read also of Israel in the wilderness. Yes, it was by food and drink, but it was by food that was rained out of the skies, and it was by drink that has come flowing forth by the Lord in a very supernatural way, even out of the rock. But then we read also that the Lord has sometimes preserved His people without means altogether. Moses was sustained by the Lord 40 days and 40 nights in the mount without any food whatsoever. So we read also of the prophet Elijah, that he went in the strength of that meat for 40 days unto that mount of God. So we read also even of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has spent 40 days in the wilderness without eating. Thus the preservation, the preserving of the existence of mankind. But not only does the Lord preserve man, but a creation that is also receiving the concurrence or the cooperation of the Lord. What does that mean? Well, that means that the Lord is giving strength for all the motions, for all the operations of His creatures. Outside of the cooperation of God, it would be impossible for any one of us even to move our hands, our fingers, our arms, our legs. The Lord is giving strength every day that we may move, that we may do our work. Oh, the Lord can take that away in a moment. The Lord can make us so weak that we are not able to move one limb of our body. Congregation, does that truth ever make us consider something? Does that ever make us consider what we are doing with that strength that the Lord is giving unto us day by day and moment by moment as we go over this world? That when the Lord gives us strength by our food, what places, young people, are we going to with that strength? What are the activities that we are involved in? Or what are the words, congregation, that come out of our mouth? Is that all kinds of gossip? What are the words that come out of our mouth? What are they used for when the Lord is giving unto us strength moment by moment? Have we ever become ashamed before God? Oh, does that ever make us to weep before Him? to go to our inner chamber and to say, Lord, I do not deserve that health and I do not deserve that strength. My heart is corrupt. Oh, every single day to preserve us and then to cooperate in the things that we have even within our minds. To do the activities that we wish and that we desire to do in this world. Does that cooperation, that concurrence of God, does that make God Himself the author of sin? Oh, boys and girls, young people, when we are involved with friends who want to go in the way of evil, and when we will go along with them, then we are also partakers in their sin. How is that with the Lord? Is the Lord then a partaker in sin? When the Lord has given unto Achan strength, when Achan went to take of the accursed thing, and the Lord did not take away that strength of Achan, but the Lord has concurred, the Lord has cooperated in this, does that then make the Lord the author of sin? That is impossible. Then God would cease to be holy. Then God would cease to be righteous and God would cease to be just. God is never the author of sin. God is never contributing unto sin. And yet, in His just judgment, the Lord is in the first place permitting sin to take place. The Lord is leaving over a person to commit sin. But not only so, the Lord is also powerfully cooperating in it. Not with sin itself, no, but with the actions of men, with the strength of men as they are doing their dark work here in this world. The Lord, we read, has hardened that heart of Pharaoh. And it was for this very purpose that the Lord has even raised Pharaoh up, that the Lord may make known His power within that life of Pharaoh. And so the Lord gave Israel, we read, up unto their own lust. When they wanted, when they insisted in continuing in that way of sin. Thus even sin that is happening according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And yet, every one of the actions of men that is being directed to an end which the Lord Himself has in view. That is called the government of God. That He is governing everything. That He is directing everything to a certain positive end which is known by Him. And when the Lord is governing, then a government that takes place by laws. So the Lord is also using laws in the government of this universe. Thus, the Lord has given the laws of the universe by which our whole universe is being governed by Him. So the planets, they are all running in their own orbits. As the Lord is directing them and even giving man knowledge of His laws of this universe. While the earth remaineth, we read, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Thus the earth, with its laws of the universe, governed by the Lord in that way, and then also the animals, they also are governed by certain laws. You know what they are, boys and girls? They are the laws of instinct. So that by certain instincts that the Lord has placed in the animals, the Lord is governing them. That the Lord is directing even the animals to a certain end. And now man also has been given laws, mankind. And by those laws, the Lord is governing man. What are those laws? They are, that is, the moral law. He has written that in the heart of his creature, in his creation. And now that law that is greatly darkened, but it is that law by which man is governed. Sometimes the Lord is diverting from his natural laws that he may work in a miraculous way. Because we can read that for the sake of the children of Israel, then he has divided the Red Sea. That is not according to the laws of gravity and the laws of the universe, no. But the Lord is the Lord also of these laws. And the Lord is able to make the Jordan to stand up on a heap, if it will be his will that he may govern this whole world for the sake of bringing forth his own end for concerning his own church. So there came a pillar of a cloud and of a fire that the Lord has governed and used for the purpose of the help and the protection of his own people within that wilderness. When man sometimes is straying from the laws of the Lord that the Lord has given, that his is his moral law, then also in that way that man is straying, the Lord is governing all these things to bring forth his end. Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, Esau, every one of them in transgression of the law of God. They were all united in this one thing, that they sinned against the Lord. But the Lord has used it even to bring about his own purposes. We read together about Esther. What a beautiful book, wherein we may read so clearly of the providences of the Lord in caring for his own church. Congregation, we do not know the end of all things. We do not know the purpose of the Lord in everything. So much is hidden from us, and we have no right to all of this knowledge. But one thing is certain. There is no such thing as chance in this world. The end of every single event and happening, to the smallest and to the most minute detail of everything here below, that is in the hands of the Lord. The Lord is using it all for the bringing in, for the upbuilding of his own church. And that is now cause for great comfort in the life of his people. Let us sing first. Psalter 306, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. From rising unto setting sun, praised be the Lord, the mighty one. He reigns o'er all, supreme in might, above the heavens in glory bright, above the heavens in glory bright. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 306. Advantage is it to know that God has created and by his providence doth still uphold all things? Answer, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love. Since all creatures are so in his hand, that without his will they cannot so much as move. This question that asks after the advantage of the knowledge of the doctrine of providence, and then it speaks in the answer of three things. That is, of patience, of thankfulness, and of trust. patience, thankfulness, and of trust. There are, congregation, three things that give rest in the heart of a man. Three things that are so profitable for mankind. How much turmoil is in the heart of one who is impatient, who is unthankful, and who is full of unbelief. Thus the Lord is instructing His church in His doctrine for their own good, for their own profit, for the profit of the body, of the mind, of the soul. A great comfort. Patience in adversity, especially because adversity is the lot of the true church here in this world. In the world, they shall have tribulation, and they must through much tribulation enter into that kingdom of God. It is a school of suffering for the church of God. And now the knowledge of the providence of God that is such a comfort in the day of adversity. What is from our side accidental is not accidental from the side of the Lord. What is from our side unknown, that is not undirected from the side of God. Sudden illness, car accident, loss of our loved ones, all in the providence of God. And what may Job say? The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be that name of the Lord. What is also a mistake from the side of man, or we think about that which has happened also last evening, then there can be so many thoughts. Oh, if only this, if only that. No. It is all directed by the hand of the Lord. And how many things that are not crooked in the sight and in the mind, in the thought of God's people. Here below, they are not crooked from the side of God. Asaph said the wicked prosper. And God's people? Well, God's people are poor. But does the Lord not have a way in it for His people? Is it not for a purpose? Is it not directed unto a certain end that the Lord has in mind for His own children? How can it be that Naboth is put to death and Ahab may prevail and he may take over that vineyard of Naboth? How can it be? It is, congregation, in the providence of the Lord. No, then we cannot say that God's people always agree with the providences of the Lord. Jacob says, all these things are against me. But they were not against him. No, one day he would see later. Then the church will see that all of the providences of the Lord, they were working for the good, for the welfare of that true church of God. Is that also a comfort in our days? It is, congregation, a great blessing when we may receive rest, that we may bow under the providences of the Lord. Where was, boys and girls, the place that David loved to be the most? Do you know? That was here. I was in the house of God. His heart and his soul that longed after that house of God. Yours too. Then there came times in the life of David that he could not be in that house of God. And there was a time that he was cast out even by his own son. Then he saw his friends. And they have their ark. They're coming to him in all their love. All their well-meaning. And David, he says, carry it now back. He says, if the Lord delights in me, then he will bring me again to see both it and his habitation. But if the Lord say he has no delight in me, then here I am. Let the Lord do with me what seemeth good to him. Oh, what a rest. In his affliction, in his trial, in his tribulation, that David may go out in submission to all the ways and all the providences that the Lord is leading him in his life. Is that not a benefit? Is that not an advantage? To know that the Lord is directing everything. Does it ever give us rest? Does it ever give us comfort? Patience. Patience in adversity. Thankful in prosperity. That is, that we acknowledge where that our prosperity is coming from. Is that also our life? By nature, it is not so. By nature, we take the honor to ourselves. This is that great Babylon that I have built. So also with the church of God. Because then even the servant of God, oh, that blessed Hezekiah, then he will show the enemy all those riches. Well, and then even our evil hearts, we mix a little religion in it. You say, yes, these are all the blessings that the Lord has made a difference between me and the enemy. Oh, our heart that is so deceitful. Mephibosheth, what did he say? He says, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am. But congregation, what did he need to be brought to that place? Oh, then he had to go through something. He had to become an outcast. He had to become a dead one before that he may so acknowledge what he may receive. What did Esau say to Jacob? He says, whose are all these? He says, they are the children whom the Lord has graciously given unto thy servant. But what did now Jacob have to experience before that he may say this? 20 years ago, he didn't say this. No, 20 years ago, if then he was to receive a blessing, then he had better put his own hand to it. Then he had better help the Lord even with a lie, and even with deceit. But the Lord had to instruct him. And then Jacob may acknowledge from where all those blessings may come. Patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things that may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will they cannot so much as move. Trust in the future, what an inestimable blessing for that blessed church of God as a child who may look up and who may rely upon his Father. All they do not know the future. The future is hidden also for that true church of God. But the Lord of that church, he is also the God of the future for that church. And he is holding that whole future in his hands. David had a promise for the future from that God. Promise of the kingdom. The Lord tried it, even to that point that he says it cannot be anymore. It is impossible. One step between me and death. One day I will perish at the hand of Saul. Cannot be. But congregation was impossible. It was impossible. Why? Oh, hath he said it? And shall he not do it? Hath he spoken? And shall he not make it good? Oh, what a blessing. Blessing when we may receive the care in this world from one another. That we may bear the burdens of one another. That children may be cared for. Boys and girls, do you ever think about that blessing? That you may be cared for by your father. That you may be cared for by your mother. What a blessing. Also, when the Lord spares to old age, and when there are children that are willing to give up all their freedom and all that they desire in this world in order that they may take care of their old parents. Oh, what a blessing that we may care for one another in this world. Congregation, if that's all we have, then we have not more than the world. Because the world is also caring for one another. But there is no greater blessing in this world than when we may be under that very special providence of the Lord. Everything in his hands and everything working for the good and for the welfare of that true church of God, despite all their perplexities, despite all their riddles, despite all their questions and all that the devil says, the Lord is going to bring his church in, and the Lord is going to receive all the honor and all the glory. Oh, will it be also from us? Or will all of those providences of the Lord that we receive day by day and moment by moment testify eternally against us? Amen. O Lord, if thou dost not prevent, then it will testify against us, because we are wretched creatures who will never turn to thee. O stop us, Lord. We receive so many blessings. Give us eyes to see them and to look upon thy providence. And oh, may it break our hard and stony hearts, that we may go this day into our inner chamber to weep out our heart before thee, that we may be given to turn from our evil ways and to serve that most kind and that most long-suffering God remember us in and through thy dear Son. Lord, if we are not forgiven, then we will be punished so righteously, so justly. Oh, forgive us. Take away all of our many sins. Be with us further this day. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. And wilt thou bring us together with desire also in the day of tomorrow once again, and the day that we may commemorate the sending of thy dear Son into this world. Help us to preach. Help us to listen. Be in our midst. For Jesus' sake, amen. One, four, and five of Psalter 210.
Oh,
I will tell, and on his deeds my thoughts shall dwell. Is God from whom all blessings flow? Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.